Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, October 18th, 2010. I'm Sam Minter, and once again, I do have Yvonne Beau with me, back from his vacation.
Oh, yes, I was, you know, I had to do that. I actually planned to record the show from my vacation, but I forgot to bring the headset. And I realized that, you know, it's one of those things I'm packing, like, you know, you're going, I'm packing all this stuff and whatever. You know, when I go on vacation, we wind up carrying so much more stuff than I do on a business trip.
Right.
Because you don't know what you're going to be doing, so I carry, well, I need clothes for this, and well, maybe we're going to do this, so I need this and this and that. So I wound up with these enormous suitcases to go on a vacation. And you know, we brought all this stuff, and the one thing that I said, oh, I got to remember the headset. Going up, like, out there, I'm like, oh, fuck. No headset.
You know, I have actually noticed, like, I've done, you know, a couple times I've done, like, these video chats and things without headsets, and it's not that bad anymore. Like, it used to be, like, well, it was a guarantee.
But I tried on that laptop already to have a telephone conversation over Skype.
And
okay?
it was bad.
It did not go over very well, no. So I already knew that that was.
I'm just saying, though. I mean, and I understand, you know, with the particular technology you had, it may have sucked. But like I've been doing like the video chat thing with my mom to see the kid, of course. You know, every week or two, and you know, there's no headphones involved anymore. It's just like it's on my. Either my laptop or my desktop, and I just have the sound on and through the microphone, and it all works, and we very rarely get any feedback or echoes. And you know, I remember just a few years back, if you tried to do anything like that without a headset, forget it.
Oh, you know,
you were
yeah,
in trouble. But now, like,
you're right.
I guess the software is smarter, and you know, it works most of the time. I mean, once in a long while, I'll hear an echo or something will go wrong, but you know, it's rare. It's like most of the time, it's absolutely fine. With the video chats, you know, the more frequent problem is that every once in a while, the connection will slow down and things will get all pixelated for a little while. But sound, even when the picture goes, the sound's usually fine. So
yep. But anyway, so that was the thing with that. You know, I just did open. I don't know. I honestly must admit that I didn't want to come back from vacation. We had such a good time.
I can certainly understand that.
It was quite. You know, we went down. We went to the Cayman Islands, and we hadn't been there before. I must say that if you have the chance to go down, you'll love it. It is a little bit... We were in a pricey place. There are less pricey places, but the island is pricey itself because it's an island. Everything has to be imported. It's expensive, etc., and so forth. But yet, despite that, if you know, there are certain places that are cheaper to stay. The people are so friendly. The island is so nice. I mean, it's just quite... I don't know. It was just quite a nice week, you know? So
moving
anyway.
On, to give people a quick idea, we're going to be talking a little bit about the banks. We're going to be talking a little bit about the chip makers. You know, Yvonne mentioned his vacation. He's going to talk a little bit more about iPad impressions from his actual use on vacation. And then we'll wrap it up with a little bit of more Apple speculation about Verizon and future versions of macOS and such. But let's start it off. Yvonne, you mentioned you'd been tracking once again issues, and we touched on this a couple weeks ago, with banks basically being incompetent with what they were doing with mortgages. And I gather there's been some more along those lines this week.
Well, more banks, basically, it has come completely to light, okay, now, that the way that banks that resold mortgages, this does not apply to any local banks that actually held on to the mortgages. Okay?
That's very rare these days, right? I mean,
well, a lot of the smaller regional banks and credit unions
still do
held on to mortgages.
Okay.
Yeah, and I actually have a mortgage with one. The mortgage on my condo is held by the bank that bought. I'm 99% sure I checked on this. It's held by the bank that issued it, which is quite surprising. I thought because it wasn't one of the big banks. It was Wells Fargo. Okay. And they actually do hold it, which I was like, I was surprised. But for the most part, most of the large banks, and actually a lot of the even smaller banks, it was only certain regional banks, grabbed most of these mortgages and resold them, most of the ones that we sold over the last probably 7-8, I'd say over the last 10 years, okay? The problem that happened is that nobody really took proper custody and possession of the documents that designated the ownership of the damn mortgages. And what's coming up right now is that all the banks have pretty much admitted that when a mortgage was sold, they were supposed to be held by a trust. That trust was supposed to be administering the mortgages for these investors, which were the ones that were putting up the money.
Right.
Bottom line is that a lot of these trusts that were supposedly created to hold all these documents don't have all the documents for a lot of the mortgages they purport to own. They just don't.
Mm-hmm.
They simply don't. They never bothered to actually properly pick up the proper document, you know, have a chain of custody in which, you know, the paperwork that says I own this pass hands and was properly transferred to people that should have it, period. Just wasn't done. And in a lot of cases, banks are going and trying to find this shit wherever it may be, and they're not finding a lot of them.
Right.
And this is causing a problem because, you know, now a lot of people have wised up to the fact that they're having a bank trying to come over and, like, foreclose them. Well, I got this note on your property. Oh, really? Do you? And look, they're the guys that wrote the – look, they're the guys that wrote the rules. They're the guys that wrote the fucking mortgages. They're the guys that put the fucking boilerplate on it. They're the guys that said how that was supposed to be executed and what whatever. All this fucking bullshit they wrote. Now they don't even have to – they never followed up on any of the shit they wrote in the fucking contract. And now they're trying to execute it. They don't even know who owns the fucking thing.
Now,
in a lot of cases, what's going to happen? This is what's happening. There are a lot of cases where a lot of the paperwork can be found. There's a lot of work where it can't. Bottom line is that what's going to happen is that in a lot of cases, people are actually going to have to try to track a lot of the paperwork that was never properly administered in the first place.
Well, okay? I read there's also the possibility of trying to recreate this paperwork by having sort of the relevant witnesses attest to blah, blah, blah.
In some cases, that can be done, but I'm pretty sure that in a lot of cases, you can't.
Right.
Okay.
Because the relevant people might not be available and or are not motivated to cooperate.
That's exactly right. So, you know, so you have that issue. Look, in the worst of cases, in a lot of cases, you're gonna have places where investors or banks or some people will have no recourse, and they're just gonna have to write off a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem. It comes to
now.
Okay. I'm saying that. Say you're Bank of America, and you resold the you think you resold this mortgage to this mortgage trust, right? Well, if it can't be established whether the mortgage trust has it or Bank of America has it, who the fuck is supposed to go after the guy in the mortgage if neither of them can establish there is a mortgage, but you don't know who owns it? So who the fuck is supposed to be able to actually foreclose? And that's when it becomes a problem. If you can't establish that and the paperwork can't be found, you're fucked.
Well, right. So now in these cases, is it going to end up the way that I mentioned a few weeks back, where essentially, you know, whoever happens to be living in the house at the same time ends up getting, hey, free house? Or is it going to be somebody making an arbitration and deciding which
there
of these
will
banks
be,
gets
there have been people that have been speculating, because it has happened, but it's not been as common as one would have thought. It has happened in cases where that has already happened. That has already happened because nobody could establish who the fuck owned the mortgage. And it has already happened. Hmm. So,
but you'd think that there might be a dispute over who owned the mortgage and there'd be some sort of resolution process. But at some point, there would still be a mortgage because everybody agrees there is a mortgage. And the people actually living in Nassau aren't really paying.
I'm just calling what the worst case scenario is. Okay.
No, best case for that guy living in the house.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm talking from the investor side of that, not so much the homeowner. But in the worst case, I mean, if it can't be established and there's nobody to foreclose, then I mean that is one of the outs.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it just shows, you know, I mean, it amazes me sometimes how people just mismanage things. I mean, I'm just sheer, you know. I am a person who has worked in business for a long time, and I am, you know, and I am not a person who is to bash corporations. Okay, I mean, it's not in my thing to normally bash them, but when they need to be bashed, they should be bashed. And this is the one thing that I've seen all these people right now complain how, oh, the administration's anti-government, anti-business. Look, there's no need to be anti-business. You fuck ups. You know, you can't. How the fuck you run a banking business when you can't – you don't know how to fucking issue mortgages. You don't know how to fucking properly process them. You don't know how to negotiate a fucking thing. You don't know how to foreclose them. You can't keep track who owns them. I mean, seriously. I mean, come on. And you think that, oh, we're being too hard on you? Seriously? I mean, you couldn't do a fucking thing right. And supposedly we're being hard on you. My God. Jesus, at least have some balls to admit to your whole bunch of fuck-ups.
Well, in the case of you know, banking and automakers and all of these other kinds of things, I mean, the anti-business point of view would have been to let them all fucking fail.
I agree. I mean, I'm like, you know, and worse, they're saying that everybody's anti-business. They were all we bailed their asses out, and then they're like, oh, well, everybody's being anti-business. Fuck you! Anti-business would have been exactly right. Fuck all of you. No rescue, no bailout, no nothing. Go fuck yourselves. I mean, my God, exactly. I'm just sick and tired of listening to all this shit. Oh, the administration's being anti-business, everybody's being anti-business. Oh, really? Seriously. Why? Because, you know, I actually just yesterday saw the new paperwork that has been passed. Because of all this fraud that happened in mortgages, the rules regarding the new disclosure statements for mortgages.
Okay.
I'm doing a mortgage for somebody right now. I was working, you know, trying to get a mortgage with somebody. You know what? It actually made the documentation far clearer, easier to use. And by the way, it said that in the you know, check this out. I this happened to me more than once. I got one of these estimates that they do the. They do this fair disclosure estimate where they tell you what the closing costs and whatever is going to be, what the fees, right down to the penny, et cetera. It should have been like you get this estimate before,
right,
before you close. It happened to me in more than one closing over my life that the moment that we got to the closing, oh, well, all those numbers are wrong. We're off. I'm sorry. It's more money. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And all of a sudden, I'd have to write a check for a bigger amount at the close.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, the new rules. Not only is the document far clearer, but it says that, by the way, if the bank fucked up and they didn't disclose at the beginning, guess what? They gotta eat it. Heaven forbid, okay, that they could actually, you know, wow, a business is now responsible because if they told you that it was going to be $10,550, that they can't show up at the close and tell you, oh, no, it's not $10,550, it's $13,550. You know? So I actually think, you know, some of the changes that they're saying make sense. Heaven forbid. Make them actually have to do their homework and actually present you documentation that's accurate before you actually get to the transaction. Wow, what a fucking innovative thing! Jeez, oh, that's so onerous on business. My God, why should you be accurate before you present documentation? Oh, and make it clear and easy to read for the customer. Oh my God, well, fuck, how can you run a bank like that? Anyway,
okay. On that note, let's take a break and we'll be back in a minute. To talk about chip makers and later Yvonne's iPad and some Apple stuff. We'll be right back.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, another Yvonne topic because, you know, hey, basically I was asleep this last week or not asleep or something. And
were you sick or something?
No, no, I just, I don't know. I thought about the last week and I'm like, I have no idea what happened. I don't even remember.
Well, you know, I was on a fucking island. I didn't even have a cell phone, for Christ's sakes, all week, which was kind of very liberating, mind you. you know, and...
Let me put it a different way. Like, you know, one of the ways I look at topics is I look at the articles I've been reading over the last few days online. And rather than there being nothing to talk about, let me just put it this way. There was nothing that I...
There wasn't anything interesting.
Well, not even not interesting, just not appropriate for this podcast. So let me give you a couple minutes of these. So the last few things I've been reading... there was something about some torrent sites going down after an attack on their hosting provider. There was something about Bill Murray showing up to some award show in a Ghostbusters costume.
Oh, come on, that would have been a good subject. Well, I don't know. How much can you say more than that? Okay.
You know, there was... I have a Google alert for the place I used to work in Florida, and somebody's resume came up who worked there in 2005 for 3 months. There was a thing on Halloween costumes to look like the characters in the XKCD cartoon. There was a Think Geek. Somebody reposted a thing that Think Geek has for an action figure of the Monolith from 2001. We got the thing we're going to be talking about Apple and Verizon and stuff like that.
You got something.
Then we got Benoit Mandelbrot passing away. He's the guy from the Mandelbrot set. He died recently. Stuff like this. So, like, there's a lot of stuff. Here's a good one. There was an article about somebody who, you know, the kids' book Goodnight Moon?
No.
No, you don't know it. Okay. It's a... pick it up. It's a classic thing that, you know... Anybody who was either had or is or was an American child in the last, you know, 20, 30, 40 years who isn't you... knows about it. It's a little book and it's a little picture book and it's saying, you know, goodnight moon, goodnight pots, goodnight pans. It's a little mouse or some little kid being put to bed or whatever. Anyway, there's a thing where, you know, the clock on the wall during this thing goes an hour and 10 minutes from 7 p.m. to 8:10 over the course of the story while the kid is saying goodnight to everything in the room. However, somebody looked at it, like in the picture book, there's a moon in the window, and somebody looked at how much the moon moved between the beginning of the story and the end of the story, the size of the window, calculated how far the moon actually moves in that time frame, and figured out that even though the clock had moved an hour and 10 minutes, based on how much the moon had moved, only 6 minutes had elapsed. Anyway.
Interesting.
So.
Interesting.
This is why I don't have any topics this week.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to my. Okay. this week, it was kind of what I was mentioning. These are all kind of related that we're going to talk in the next subject. So,
yeah.
Press conferences this week for a couple of different chip makers. AMD was talking about, and Intel as well. They also had had a press conference this week, and they were asked about, you know, what their response is going to be to the iPad. Okay, you know, given the volumes that are selling right now.
Well, I want to point out, of course, it's not just the iPad necessarily, but other similar competitive devices in the same class that are undoubtedly going to be coming out.
Correct. That's correct. Yes, and they were talking about that business, and they Intel CEO, for example, he was quoted, did address the iPad directly. Later, he opined, numbers are relatively small in the grand scheme of the ship rate of the PC, netbook, and netbook business. Basically, we don't really care. Microsoft, they were all pretty nonchalant. AMD also was the same thing, and so was Microsoft. They're like trying to act like it's not happening. Even though current estimates are right now that really for this kind of type of device, the current projections are that we'll be selling between 30 to 50 million devices out of a total of 250 million notebooks to be shipped in 2011. So, I mean, I'm like, seriously, you're going to ignore something this big? And they're kind of out of it. Microsoft doesn't really have the software to do something, along these lines right now, even though they launched the Windows Phone 7 this week, and God knows if it's got something that can be used for this, but probably not. The new slates that are coming out, even from competitors, are not using Intel or AMD processors, as far as I can tell. I mean, Apple is doing their own processors for the iPad. And, I know that HP is working on one of theirs, and they're going to use, not Microsoft, but they're using WebOS, and I don't think they're going to be using any Intel or AMD processors, and not the BlackBerry one. So, now, I'm like, I will tell you that this seems to me like this is a very big misstep if these guys are going to – this is the reaction they're going to take. I mean, I think that their earnings and their market share is going to really take it up into shorts.
Well, I mean, I think you're – I mean, from the sound of it and me not knowing a lot about it otherwise, I mean, it sounds like your typical sort of response from – folks who are in an industry that has changed overnight that haven't actually realized it yet and are still fighting the old battle. And, you have to sort of, they have to turn around or somebody else is going to take their place. I mean, what was the old phrase about, some of the old railroad companies that making the big mistake that they thought they were in the railroad business instead of in the transportation business.
Transportation business, correct. That's right, yes. I mean, yeah. And this seems to be like the same thing here. These people think they're in the notebook business and not in the freaking, information device. I mean, because an information device can be a whole bunch of things. I mean, it doesn't have to be necessarily a full-fledged computer. I mean, I saw people on my trip also with Kindles, Nooks, I saw so many iPads. I was, like, surprised.
I saw all types in the wild.
I saw so many of them while I was on my trip.
This is an interesting thing to me to notice. Like, Seattle is a fairly tech-heavy town. I mean, now, yep. Admittedly, a lot of it's Microsoft, and maybe that has something to do with it. But, like, I'm not saying I have not seen any. I have seen a variety of iPads in the wild. But not very often. I certainly see iPhones all the time. I certainly see, e-readers all the time, like you were saying. I've only seen a handful of iPads actually like out in the wild, other than at work. And I work at a tech-ish company, and I've seen a few there. But like out at coffee shops and stuff, very few. And whereas your description in your part of the world is you see them all the time, which is interesting.
I mean, I have so many people, employees at my office that have iPads. Okay, I'm just talking about me. We were sitting around the pool. There were probably like this is the low season, so we weren't that many people at the hotel. But out of like 20 people, there was like a Kindle and three iPads.
Right.
Three. Okay. I'm like, this is something that didn't exist a year ago, for heaven's sakes. Okay?
Well, and this is where I'm saying, and just getting back to the chip makers real quick, we'll have more to say about the iPad in a minute, but it's simply a matter of, you know, there is a market out there. It's going to be an explosive market, and I would suspect, and maybe I'm wrong, that this new market is going to cannibalize these older forms of technology. People will be taking a hit on netbooks and laptops and even desktops from this. I mean, you already had people moving from desktops to laptops for most of their normal computing needs. And, you know, desktops were becoming more and more of a niche for people who really needed the power or the screen size or whatever. And I think you're going to see the same thing here. This is not, you know, people were talking about this being, you know, a niche that's in between the laptop and the phone and blah, blah, blah. For a lot of people, and certainly not for everybody, this is going to be instead of the laptop. You know, and we'll see. But I think,
well,
you're right.
They ignored it at their peril. Now, however, the one thing about whether, you see, here's the thing that I've discovered about this device.
Okay, wait. Let's take a break and then we'll go into that, okay? Because it's about time for a break anyway, and that's transitioning right into our next topic, which is the iPad as a device and what you've been learning about it over the last few weeks. So we'll take a break for your poem of the week, and we'll be back after this.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel.
From Favored Daughter by Megan Kaminsky. The house was not so exquisite. Functional, furry, woodland floor to catch rain. Trees brush anachronistic in their decline. Spent hours mapping the making. Call buttons, cabins, and trimmings. From lake docks back east, red poppies line the walk, worn sideways through beds of ivy.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, Vaughn, so you had your iPad on vacation, and it's caused you to realize more things.
Not my iPad, my wife's iPad.
Your wife's iPad.
Let's be correct. So, I cannot read my email on this iPad, okay, because it's connected to her email, okay?
Right. So,
can't do that.
So in any case, we were talking about, you know, the cases where somebody would use this instead of a laptop and where they might not. So what have you learned?
Well, here's the one thing. Now, look, in terms of usability, it's, you know, it is so easy to read off this thing. I mean, it really, and carrying around, and it's so comfortable. It is, you know, I when I first talked about the, you know, we're talking about tablet computers, I kept remembering these stupid frickin' Windows tablets that were clunky, bulky, annoying. This thing is so light, and it's so nice to grab that, you know, yeah, you don't think about it so differently from a damn book. It is that damn comfortable. I gotta admit that that's something. It's like you don't think about it 2 seconds of taking it to read anywhere, whether it's on the beach, whether it's sitting down, whether it's in bed, whether it's anywhere. It's really, in that sense, the form factor and the battery life, for that matter, are fantastic. But let's talk about the drawbacks, okay? One thing is glare. A lot of it.
Yes.
Look, on the beach, my wife just really, it's not easy to read.
Yes, this is the one distinction that the e-ink devices have going for them, perhaps.
That's why I saw somebody with a Kindle right there on the beach reading without a problem. And on the iPad, even though you could take the intensity on the screen all the way up and you could see the
it
text.
It wasn't pleasant.
It wasn't great. No, it was not. Okay? That's one thing that I got to say. And here's the other thing that I don't understand. An iPhone doesn't reflect as much glare as the iPad does.
But it's because it's bigger, it's harder to adjust it. I mean, iPhones are pretty reflective too, but because it's a small screen, it's really easy to turn it and avoid whatever light you're worrying about.
I think there's a little bit more to that. Okay. There's a little bit more than that. I put both side by side, and I noticed that the iPhone is using what I have like on my car as well and a couple of other LCD displays where it's got, you know, the LCD actually gets brighter as the sunlight hits it on an iPhone, okay, yeah, because it actually has reflective backward screen. It's not, doesn't seem that that's the case on the iPad. And I'm wondering why in the world they chose not to do that.
Hmm.
At least not on this edition anyway.
Yeah.
Because you could brighten the intensity enough that it was readable still in the sunlight. But because it wasn't reflecting the sunlight back as it does on the iPhone, it was a pain in the neck to read it. Okay? It was. Now, there are anti-glare screens. We didn't buy one. We're going to put an anti-glare thing on it. That's one thing we figured out. But the glare was just... That was a problem. Okay, all right.
Yep.
I do want to print occasionally, and you can't really print from this fucking thing.
Well, that is one of the features announced in for the next upgrade of iOS. So they are addressing
that better
problem.
Fucking in because it's really annoying. Okay, and I'll tell you like what I wanted to print. I'm like, well, why would you want to print anything? I wanted to print a recipe to cook it in the kitchen for heaven's sakes. Okay. All right.
Well, just prop the iPad up in the kitchen.
No, I don't want to have the fucking iPad on the kitchen because, okay, I don't want to get it with all this shit from the kitchen. I want a piece of paper that I can fucking put in the kitchen to follow the recipe, not $1,000 fucking iPad.
I have seen on various gadget sites reviews of iPad stands specifically designed for the kitchen.
Well, here's the other thing. Since I have one iPad, I wanted to be playing with the iPad while I could give the fucking recipe to my wife.
No, I know. Yes, go ahead.
Okay? Yes. So. You know, and it's like a piece of paper is still the most fucking convenient way to do that.
So printing is on the agenda. It's supposed to be in the next release, which is supposed to be about a month from now.
Files. Where the fuck to really... I mean, here's the problem. If you want to use this as a replacement, say, for example, I went and I wanted to save a file of something somewhere. I don't really see how to do it either.
Well, and see, this is one of the things where, you know, Jobs may be too smart for his own good, because this is intentional. They don't want a user-visible file system on this sucker. They want applications
to
each...
I don't want a file system. I don't want a file system. I want a place where I can store documents.
Well, what they have is a fairly dinky thing right now where... each app can maintain their sort of own inventory of stuff they use, just like iTunes has songs and iPhoto has photos.
Yeah, but you know, I don't want that. I want a place where I can go and find, like, my documents that I stored. Or, like, say, you know, say I went to... Look, something I do right now very commonly. Say you went to a website and you bought something. This is the reason why this came up. I bought movie tickets on the iPad. Well, usually I would save a PDF copy of it on my desktop so later on maybe I could pull it up or I could print it or maybe, you know, whatever. Well, where the fuck do I save it? I realized, first of all, I realized I couldn't make a fucking PDF of it. Right. The second thing I realized, I can't save it anywhere, even if I had one.
You could do a screenshot.
So, I did do that, by the way, for something, and I tried to print it. It sucks. Okay?
Okay.
All right, it sucks. It is a substitute, I will admit, but not a very good one. Okay,
I agree. This is an area I think they have to work in. They have very limited and rudimentary support for application saving files and sharing of those files between applications and syncing with them with your computer. There are also just a number of places where it still assumes that you're going to be syncing it with your desktop. And so doing it as a complete replacement still isn't viable because of that.
Yeah, it is not viable right now as a complete replacement. That's one thing right now. Just the way it is right now, it is not. And lastly, it is still annoying that it doesn't have Flash.
Okay. See, and I understand. And well, actually, I want to hear more on that because, like, you know, I'm one who has all the Flash blockers installed on my browsers. So I never see Flash anyway, even on my desktop. And I have the little thing, it's like click to Flash. So like it'll show me where the Flash is, and if I really want it, I can click it. And the only place, I very rarely do the actual click to flash thing. There's one game that Alex plays that I do it for, and sometimes for a video here or there. But nothing that I would miss or be upset about if it was really gone. You know, Alex might be upset about that game, but, you know, so you are actually still running into lots of places where the absence of flash is pissing you off.
Yes. I'll give you an example. I went to what was it? I was on a weather website where, for example, flash was what they use to display the weather information. I went to pollster.com, for example, shows that they're a cool their way flash, of showing flash, their charts yeah. is using flash.
Okay, yeah.
Okay,
I could see that one.
You know, those were two that popped up on my mind. I will tell you that some of the other major websites,
okay.
for example, like ESPN, have that it identifies that it's an iPad and replaces the video with something else that will show that it's not flash. But it's just annoying that has to happen.
Yeah, I agree, I guess. I'll tell you, there was one flash instance that annoyed me lately. And I was actually going to lenscrafters.com because I'm thinking of finally replacing my glasses. The ones I'm wearing are ancient and I can't see through them anymore. But, you know, and I went to the site on my iPhone. And it turns out that if you go there, you'll realize that, like, approximately 50% of the homepage is a big flash thing.
Yeah.
Now, but what I find is when I see something like that, I don't get annoyed at my phone. I get annoyed at the site.
I agree. I understand that the site is annoying. Most sites that are designed like that are annoying. Well, I want to fucking see it.
Well, right. Like, but I just went on my web browser, which has the click to flash thing, and I clicked on the big ass, you know, click here for flash. And when it comes up, all it is a bunch of fucking pictures of happy people with glasses that rotate every couple seconds. It's a complete waste of my fucking time. What I wanted to get at is the, like, find a store thing to find the closest one to me. And it turns out that's in the section that wasn't flash, and I actually was able to get to it from my iPhone. But, like, the fact that they've got a site that the big, big, huge part of it is just nothing, nothing useful at all, and even less useful because they do it in such a way that it won't show up unless you're using flash, and which, like I said, I block on all my computers, but I can't see on my iPhone. Yeah, it just pisses me off.
Flash anyway? What's your beef with it?
There are a couple reasons. One, I definitely saw the thing that Steve Jobs had referred to in his open letter about flash, which is that of all the times that my browser has slowed down or crashed or whatever, 90% of the time was because of some stupid-ass flash thing on one of the tabs I had open. And then almost 100% of those times, the stupid-ass flash in question was indeed something that was stupid-ass. It was something that I didn't want, I didn't need. It was some ad that was flashing at me. There's, when you have flash turned off and have the click to flash thing, you also notice various other, you know, random bits of flash in various places you might not even have known they were there. Some of them used for tracking, some of them used for whatever. But I don't really actually give a crap about the tracking stuff. But I find that, you know, none of the stuff. You know, of all the places I see the little thing that says, hey, there's flash here, the amounts of times I want to click on that because it's something like, oh, I want to see what's there, is like no more than one out of every 50 times. You know, most of the time, having a nice subtle gray square there is better and less distracting than whatever crappy animated ad or whatever was going to be there anyway. And along the same lines, you know, I put ad blocking software on. I've got I don't know if I have it on my desktop here, but I've had it before. Yeah, I have it on my desktop here. I have the AdBlock Safari extension attached. You know, and so, like, you know, I get rid of a lot of those too, and I don't miss them. You know, it's just like, you know, Anyway, that's why. It's like, you know, you pointed out a couple things you want. You like, you have like some of the ESPN stuff and some functionality on another site, you know. And okay, every once in a long while, I will hit something that actually requires that and that I'm like, oh, okay, good. Most of the time when I've found that people have done stuff with Flash, I find it annoying. And
I'm with you. I understand that. It just happened to be that it was just three things that I found useful. Okay? That somebody had chosen to develop them on Flash. And, you know, actually two of them, to be honest with you. And I'm just like, you know, I'm like, ugh, damn it. I'm like, you know, it's annoying. It's annoying.
So while I'm talking about that, and we can move to another topic real quick, but since I had the thing open, one of the things that the latest version of Safari added was extensions, which of course have existed for Firefox and Chrome except for a long, long time. But, you know, a few that I use just for folks out there who might care who have Safari. Safari Restore lets you, when you bring back up Safari after it was quit or crashed or whatever, it asks you if you want to bring back the same tabs you had before. And that's cool. Adblock, which, you know, obviously blocks ads.
It does?
Yeah. Surprise. There's one called G-Reader, which is a Google Reader shortcut thing. And I also have an Amazon search bar and an Amazon wishlist thing. But and then I mentioned Click to Flash. I believe it's now available as a Safari extension, too. It was available even before Safari did extensions, but I find that useful. So, anyway, those are fun. Any more iPad insights before we take a break and move on to the next topic?
No, those are the ones. Those are the ones that I picked up when I was on my trip. So,
okay, so we'll be back.
But by the way,
I
still highly recommend the device. It is very nice. Okay, but I just don't want anybody to think that I did not notice any of its foibles.
So
okay,
because I did. I let Brandy know, like, when the first iPad came out, and she was like, yeah, this is useless. Why would anybody want this? I've got a laptop. I've got a phone. What does this do? Blah, blah, blah. And she's still sort of like that. But I told her, look, you know, okay, I'm not getting V1. That's fine. But when V2 of the iPad comes out, you know, I'm not going to be able to resist that.
You know? My wife loves the e-reader she loves the.
And I did the same
thing
with
that. She loves reading her books on it. She loves her reading her books with it. I mean, she's like just absolutely hooked on reading on the iPad. It's amazing. So.
Okay. So anyway, we'll take a break. We will be right back after this and talking about a couple other Apple rumors and announcements, and then we'll close it up for the week. We'll be right back.
You're in The Valley, AM 1620, and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now.
Come on, baby. Let's do the twist.
Well, they got a new dance, and it goes like this.
I hit the radio dial and tuned it up all the way.
I got a dance.
Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, here we are again. So I don't know that there's a huge amount to say here, but the rumors are going hot and heavy about Apple and Verizon again, specifically Verizon iPhones and such, and it prompted to go into a frenzy again somewhat by the fact that speaking of iPads, Verizon is now selling them.
Again, I saw that they're bundling
with their
one of these MiFi stations. Yep.
A 3G to Wi-Fi bridge thing.
Which I like, by the way. I think it's pretty cool.
You have one?
No, I do not, but because I don't have Verizon. I do have AT&T, but you know, I like the little concept. I've seen actually people use. I actually connected to somebody else who had one, and it worked pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'll say the same thing I've said about the Verizon iPhone for a long time though, which is these rumors about the iPhone moving to Verizon have been going on since the very first day it was announced on AT&T only. And they ebb and flow and ebb and flow and ebb and flow. And I have absolutely no doubt that it will eventually happen. That in almost every other country that iPhones are available, they're available on multiple carriers. It's only a matter of time till it happens here. It makes sense for Verizon to be one of them. But having said that, given the nature of these rumors and how many times it's happened that the rumor has been, this is definitely happening next month, next month, next month, and then nothing happens, I'll believe it when Steve Jobs gets on stage and says it. Yeah, pretty much.
I believe it'll happen. I believe it'll happen. You know, I'm going to make my bold prediction right now by February.
By February. Okay.
By February. Yes, that's my bold prediction right now. Yes.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Like I said, I am 100% confident that it will happen at some point. But I just, you know, I'm not going to believe a specific date because I've heard so many specific dates rumored before.
No, I'm gonna stake my something into something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and you've certainly got lots of company who are saying that it's going to happen in that kind of time frame, that it's going to be on Verizon's 3G network, not on their upcoming 4G network because that's not quite ready yet. I mean, it's going to be available next year, but in a handful of cities. And yeah, that's sort of the same state that 3G was in when Apple launched the first iPhone, and it wasn't on 3G. So, you know, Apple's shown a history of sort of waiting until, you know, the technology is more widespread and available and reliable, and then jumping on. But you know, and the question is to me, like, first of all, from just a market point of view, it seems like a no-brainer that they have to do it at some point because they're severely constrained by the fact that they're only available on AT&T right now. And if they were opened up Verizon, which I believe is the biggest carrier in the U.S. right now, it's just a huge larger number of customers available. Because while there certainly were a number of people who left their existing carriers to go to AT&T for the iPhone, and I count myself in that number, it's a minority. There are only a few, you know, only really dedicated people would consider that. For the most part, people are going to, you know, go to the carrier they have and say, what phones do you have? You know, and
well, I will say that I also switched back to AT&T in order to get an iPhone. So don't discount that. I mean, I think the number of people who did that has been significant. Okay,
right. But I think it's much smaller than the number of people who would be like, you know, iPhone looks interesting, but
oh, of course,
it's not on my
of
character.
Course, no, absolutely. I mean, it's a lot easier to do so. You know, if you're on the same, you know, if it was offered on your same network. I mean, you don't have to pay a cancellation fee. You know, there's a lot of fees and things, and it's a pain in the neck to do.
Let me ask you this. With all the complaints about AT&T's network, once the iPhone becomes available somewhere else, do you expect we'll actually see an exodus, or are people just full of hot air?
I think it depends on where. I mean, I will tell you that if I were in San Francisco, I guarantee you I would flee like I mean, I would flee immediately because I saw how bad up close and personal how bad the iPhone is in San Francisco. You know, the AT&T network is in San Francisco, and shit, I'd jump ship.
Well,
in a second.
It seems like most of the complaints about AT&T with that regard, I mean, there's some from all over the place, but the two places where it seems like it's worst is San Francisco and New York. And it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Really? It's not like those two are small, out-of-the-way cities that no one cares about.
No. Yeah, I know. And it was atrocious in San Francisco. I remember that when I got there in June that I went, and because this is the first time I went with an iPhone. I've been to San Francisco over the last 3 years, but I did not have an iPhone. It's the first time I went with an iPhone. I mean, it was atrocious. I mean, I had both my iPhone 3GS – and my brother's iPhone 4, we had both, and it was just ridiculous to try to do anything, surf the web or do anything. We were in the car, we were trying to find some information, we were trying to surf the web on either phone, and it was just practically useless. It was practically useless. We couldn't get shit. So, yeah, I could see how, if I were there, I would be jumping ship right away. I will tell you that me being in South Florida, where AT&T actually works quite well, no, I would not see any need to jump junk carriers at all.
I'll say from where I am in Seattle, like, I haven't had a big problem with AT&T, but Brandy's complained about a lot of dropped calls and things like that, and that it does. They happen to me all the time too. I just don't actually mind that much. I think she would, if it weren't for, you know, the contracts and such, we would probably jump ship immediately if there was a Verizon iPhone that was equal to or better on features. The one thing that people are worried about on the CDMA network is data and voice at the same time, not being possible on the current Verizon network, which would be a deal killer for me because I do that all the freaking time.
I do that all the time too. I must admit.
And presumably that'll be fixed with their LTE network, but it'd be interesting to see how they get around that, or if they get around that. Having said that, you know, if they launch an iPhone on another carrier, and then all the reports are, you know, it performance is so much better, blah 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 blah. Then once the next round of contracts is over, I would jump ship in a second. You know, I probably wouldn't do it early, you know, because of all the late fees and penalties and all that stuff that you were talking about. But if the report
remember that is because of elsewhere, a remember that because of a federal ruling like last year, they have to prorate your termination fees.
That's true.
So it's not binary
not
like there were
than
before.
It used to be, yeah. So, and it depends. Like, there's a lot of people saying, you know, yes, the AT&T network sucks for this, but that's because the AT&T network has iPhones that use data a lot more than anything that was on previous network before. And, you know, when Verizon gets iPhone, they get slammed too.
But they are saying that current Android users, the new Android phones, and Verizon sold a lot of them, are consume almost as much data.
Right.
So, you know.
And there's been more time to prepare as well.
Yes.
So.
So anyway, I don't know. I think we're done.
I think we're done indeed. So. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for yet another week of Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, email me at ablesme@ablesme.com. That's ABULSME. For any questions, comments, thoughts, anything along those lines. Otherwise, tell your friends to listen and tune in again next week. We'll see you then. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Later, Yvonne.